Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you. And it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you a verse out of Ephesians chapter 3. Matter of fact, I'll read you a couple of them. Just got one phrase out of here I want to start with, but I want to read this. I pick out a verse, and then I look at the one in front of it, and I go, well, I better read that one too. And then I look at the one after it, and I go, oh, well, maybe I ought to read that one too. And I just love to read His Word. I love to read it when He talks back to me. How about that? And anyway, enough. 19 says, to know the love of Christ with which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory. To Him be the glory. To You be the glory, Jesus, because it's all because of You. All because of You. Of course, Ephesians, y'all been around a while, you know, Ephesians is probably the chapter I read the most. I just live in Ephesians, the authority of the believer, and I just love it. But I just reading this, and I use this verse all the time, but it said, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Get that fixed in your mind. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, or more than we can ask or think about. He is able. Everybody say, He is able. But when I read this the other day, a question just came in my mind. I thought, does that mean that He's not able to do it if we don't ask or think? If we don't ask Him for things, and if we don't think about things, is he not able to do it? I don't know, you know. But I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe we have a bigger part in our destiny in living out God's plan for our life. Maybe we have a bigger part in that to play than we realize. I hear Christians everywhere going, oh Lord, if You would just do, if, oh God, if You will do this, or God, we ask You to do that. You know, I looked up that word ask, and that word ask means to call for. Huh? Call for. You know, the other day I came in and I was tired, and I sit down in my chair, And I looked over and I didn't have any water, and I called for it. I said, Pam, could you get me a glass of water? And she did, because I said it nice. To call for. And this whole little phrase here means to call for. It means to crave, to desire, to require. So to call for the things that you crave, to call for the things that you desire, to call for the things that you require. So I just wonder, how much is limited. How much do we limit? You know, maybe it's your decision. I wanted to call this, you're the captain of your own ship. But since I didn't have anything to talk about a ship, I changed my mind. But maybe you're a little bit more in control of your destiny than you realize. I don't know. I know that Proverbs 23:7 says that as we think in our heart, so are we. Is everybody with me? Can you hear me in the back? Can you hear me? Oh, Mardell, okay. Linda, yeah. Now, you know, we don't think with our heart, we think with our mind. And so I just, you know, I just thought, you know, it must be more than this to this than just thinking. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he or she. You know, when it talks about the heart, when the Bible talks about the heart of a man, it's talking about the spirit, the center of us, the spirit of us, the part inside of us that God breathed life into, the part inside of us that after this soul, this mental capacity, this intellect, the reasoning, all the thinking, when the it and this body lays down in the grave, that spirit that's in you will live forever anyway. And so I just was thinking about this. How important is this? I guess what the word's teaching us is that when we think something long enough that it gets down in our heart, down in our spirit, we will act it out. We will perform what's in our heart. Jesus said that. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. You know, and so this spirit of us, our spirit is constantly being fed. It's constantly being fed by our soul, our emotions, our intellect, our reasoning, our thinking. I mean, it's constantly being fed things, and our bodies finally constantly sending things to our spirit. I mean, the body is how we are in contact with the natural world, and so by the things we feel, by the things we go through, the things that happen around us and to us, constantly sending messages. So maybe we just ought to think: could we possibly limit God by not asking and thinking? You know, I say this often, but you know, your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts or your most dominant thinking. You start thinking away, and it won't be long until you'll be talking that, and you'll be living that. You'll be walking it. Are you with me? Does that make sense? If y'all just get with me, I'll talk for a few minutes, and then we'll quit, okay? If you don't, I'm going to just keep talking until you get with me. How many know if you think about something long enough, you're going to do it? I mean, right or wrong, good or bad, if you think about it long enough, you're going to do it. You know, if you've got a problem with alcohol, you just can't sit around all the time thinking about a beer. Huh? If you got a problem with drugs, you just can't sit around thinking about drugs all the time. You know, if you're having problems in your marriage, you can't sit around and think about how that other lady is a whole lot nicer to you than your wife, and how, you know, I mean, you just can't think about all that stuff. And besides that, if you be nicer to her, she'd be nicer to you. So our thinking, what are we talking about? What are we calling for? What are we believing God for? What are we seeking? What are we calling for? What are we thinking about? Let me read you Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. says here, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I may have, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. He says, now you got to get the picture of this. He says, I've set this before you. See, we spend a whole lot of time asking God to do something that He's already done. He said, I've set this before you. I've set life. Can you see it? I've set life and I've set death. I've set blessings. I've set cursings. Set them before you. Can you see them? He says, I've set... The truth is, everything you will ever need has already been provided. Now think about this, because you're not just gonna grab a hold of this morning. Some already are knowing this, and some aren't knowing this. But you're not gonna get a revelation of this this morning. But I'm trying to plant a seed, so if you start thinking about it, then something will begin to grow in your life. Is that okay? Because see, this is what I'm finding out. Those of us that have been Christians for a long time, how many's been around here? I've been here for, been around this place for 42 years. Many of you have been here, some longer than me and some close to it. And we've heard everything there is to hear. We've been taught, we were taught faith in the 70s and 80s. I mean, we've sat under Pastor Mack. We've sat under people like Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin. We've heard these things. And what I'm learning is that Christians, many of us, we know all the right things. We just don't know exactly how they go together. We got all the knowledge. You ever? It's amazing how many people I will tell something. They'll say they got this problem, and I'll tell them something. They'll go, "Yeah, I know that." Well, if you know that, then why aren't you doing it? You see, a little bit of knowledge can hurt you if you don't use it right. I mean, if you were defusing a bomb. And you knew there was a red wire and a yellow wire. And you knew that if you cut one of those, the bomb would be diffused. How many know it'd probably be a pretty good idea to know which one to cut? Huh? I mean, ladies, if you're making a cake, you know how to make this cake. But you know, it'd be, probably be good if you got all the right ingredients in it. I had a lady make me a pie once. She heard such and such was my favorite pie, and so she made me a pie. And man, it was beautiful pie. She was a great pastry lady, and she made this beautiful pie. And I took it home. I took a piece of it. She forgot to put the sugar in it. And I took a bite of it and went. Some of you guys, we know all the ingredients. We just don't get the right amounts in, and what we've done is we've progressed into a state where we're waiting for God to do something. We're waiting for something to happen. But He said, "I set it before you. I set it before you. Now choose." And I think is beautiful about the story. He said, "I set life and death here, blessing and cursing." He didn't say, "Now either choose death or life." No, He said, "Choose life." God wants good for you. He wants the best for you. He's got good things planned for you. He didn't say, "Well, just try it and find out what works. And if that doesn't work, then try it the other way." And folks, some of us have been saved for 40 some years and we're still trying stuff when we ought to be doing stuff. Well, two of us will agree. How do you choose? Well, you make a mental it's a mental process, but how many know it's more than a mental process? It's more than just deciding to choose God. There has to be action. There has to be when God says, "Choose me, choose this day who you'll serve." How many know "serve" is an active word? Serve means I'm going to move. I'm going to do something. See, I need to make a decision. And that decision needs to be so strong that it needs to get rooted in my heart. The decision I make needs to be so dominant in me that it makes me talk different and it makes me act different. God says, "I've said it all before you, pick me." I don't know about you, I pick God. I pick His way. I pick His will. I mean, I want what He wants. And if he says it, then that's the way it's going to be. If He says it, that's what I'm going to do. If I don't understand it, I'm not going to sit around for 3 weeks at questioning and asking why and explain it to me. If He says do it, I'm going to do it, and He'll explain it to me while I'm doing it. Why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? You know, can I just say something real nice and sweet? God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. Huh? He'll give you one. If you're not arrogant and cocky with Him, He'll give you one. He always will tell you. He'll always tell you why. But He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe me anything. No, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him if things go my way, if they don't go my way. I'm going to serve Him if everything works out the way I think it should, or if it doesn't work out the way I think it should. I'm going to serve Him when it's good. I'm going to serve Him when it's bad. I'm going to serve Him in the nighttime. I'm going to serve Him in the day. If I happen to be in a pile of ashes, I'm going to serve Him. If I happen to be mourning, I'm going to serve Him, because my mourning will turn to joy. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that's a decision. When I got saved 42 years ago, I didn't say, "Well, now God, If you help everything work out in my life." I didn't really have to say that, because if He made anything work out, it would have been all uphill, because nothing was working, you know. But I didn't try to make a deal with Him. I came to Him and I said, "Here I am, God. Not much. You didn't get much, but you got me. Don't have much to offer, but here I am." He said, "That's all I want, just you. Just as you am." Well, you understand what I'm saying? That's a choice. That's a decision. That's a real decision. "No, I'm going to live for you. I don't care." You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. If every one of you in this building, and I can say this because it won't happen, but if every one of you in this building backslide, I'm not backsliding. I mean, if everyone walks away from God, I'm not walking away. You understand what I'm saying? A decision. A decision. That's better than, "Oh, well, if..." You know, we're uptight every time something bad happens. Every time something... We're acting like we don't know what's going on. But see, I have to choose. I have to choose. I have to make a decision. And you go on to verse 30, and it's just, or verse 20, and it's just what I'm just saying. God says, "Hey, Hank, I want you to love me. Hank, I want you to obey me. Hank, I want you to cling to me. I want to be your life. I want to be your existence. I want to be everything to you." I say, "God, you're my everything. I'm going to be with you for eternity." You know, when you make that kind of decision, a whole lot of stuff goes on around you can just roll off your back. You make that kind of decision, a whole lot of bad things can happen to you and around you, and you're still going to serve Him. Most of you have proved that. Well, I have to choose. Back up to chapter 28, and we won't read it. But he said, I've set out here blessings. He said, if you'll hear me, hear my word, and do it, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And you go on a few more verses, and he said, if you don't hear me, if you don't obey me, all these curses will come on you. If you hear me and obey me, all these blessings will come on you. But see, I have to make a choice. All this stuff's here, folks. The blessing's here. And the curse is here. I just need to choose. Well, how do I choose? Well, I choose by the way I live. I choose by not just the things I say, but do the things I say match up with the walk I walk? And I don't know about you, but I'm always falling short. Huh? But I've just learned I'm not going to spend 3 weeks feeling guilty and feeling sorry for myself because I fall so short. Hey, I was short when he found me, and I'm still short 42 years later. That's why it was grace. He said, man, I've given you, I've provided everything for you. You don't have to be nothing. I'm everything for you. You just have to use your faith and believe me. He didn't say, go after the blessing and it'll come on you and overtake you. No, he said, come after me. We talk a lot about the promised land. He didn't take Israel. He didn't go to Pharaoh, send Moses to Pharaoh and say, let my people go so I can take them into the promised land. No, he said, let my people go so they can serve me. Let them go so they can worship me in the wilderness. I don't know, man. A lot of Christians today, not none of you, but a lot of Christians today, you let us taste a little bit of wilderness and we're whining and squealing like a stuck hog, man. Huh? Yeah, it's pretty good. It'd get better, though. It'll get better. If you'll pray for my hearing, it'll get better, Zach. Does that line up with what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33? He said, hey, seek first God. He'll take care of everything else. Seek His kingdom first. Seek His righteousness. I like that because I don't have to seek my righteousness because, man, my righteousness isn't very righteous. Is yours? No, seek His righteousness. I'm just doing that continually. Jesus, take all my bad. I take all your good. Let's make the big swap here. That's what it means to humble yourself, Kenny. That's what it means to humble. I'm nothing, God, but you're everything. I can't do anything, Jesus, but you can do everything. And I'm just going to get in you and let you do it through me. Well, we've got to choose. Let me deal with something. I got time. Let me deal with something while we're on this. People, mostly unsaved people, but I'm finding out that a lot of Christians are the same way. But many people try to make God responsible for everything. But you know what? That's just not true. Well, God, if you really love me, if you really love us, how did you let that happen? How'd this happen? How'd that happen? Hold it. You know, it's not God's fault. Truth is, there's a whole lot of things going on this earth that are contrary to God's will, His perfect will and His perfect plan. This idea, God's in control of everything. I'm sorry. That's not true. All this destruction going on, all the havoc and destruction in the lives of people, and we see it on the news. We see all this bitterness. We see all this stuff happen. It never was. It never was. It isn't, and it never will be the perfect will of God. It never was His perfect plan. Matter of fact, you want to see God's perfect plan? How many would like to see God's perfect plan? If you want to see God's perfect plan, you look in Genesis at the garden before sin entered the world, before man fell. You look at that. And then you fast forward to the end of Revelations after everything's restored. And you'll see God's perfect will, His perfect plan. It never changed. It's always been the same. And can I say something? All this stuff in the middle, all this destruction, all this havoc, all this meanness, all this bitterness, all this other stuff, it has to do with men and the devil. It has nothing to do with God. God's good. His will is good. He's not here letting you mess up enough so you learn not to mess up. He doesn't want you to mess up. He doesn't want you to go through some of those things. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, then why are a lot of people perishing? Because they won't repent. But you can't make that the will of God. See, I started doing this years back, but I still think it, and I still pray this way, and I still do it. I just believe everybody can get saved. Huh? I don't pray, God, would you save some of the folks in this area? I say, God, would you save all the folks in this area? Well, I just want you to see that. I just want you to see that. I want to look at Ephesians real quick. I got time. None of you got any place you need to go for the next 5 minutes or so, have you? If you do, call them, tell them you'd be late. Oh, I love you. You guys are the best people in the whole world. Man, I wouldn't trade you for a bag of monkeys. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see, that's not 4. I want to read, let me read 1 through 3. Where is 4? There it is. It says, I'm really wanting to get a phrase in chapter 27, but all these other verses look so good, I'm going to read them too. Is that right? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and longsuffering, bearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Now, I changed this, so that's why I'm... Now look at 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things in Him who is the head, and that's Christ. How about 25? 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Verse 27, don't give place to the devil. That's the phrase that I just wanted to talk about for a second. Don't give place to him. You say, well, how do you give place for him? Well, according to what Paul said here, when we don't walk worthy of our calling. People say, well, why can't I do that? Why can't I hang out there? Why can't I do that anyway? Well, you can. But when you do something and you know you're not supposed to do it, you give place to the devil. Now, I'm just going to say something. If you think, how many believe there's a devil? You'd be surprised some Christians don't think there's a devil. I need to hang a sign on their ear that says vacancy, man. Now, if you believe the Bible, you believe there's a devil. Don't give place to him. I'm going to tell you what, he won't be kind to you. If you give him an inch, he'll take a foot and a mile. His name, his key names mean destroyer. He is a destroyer. And all the evil that we're seeing today in men, all of this evil that we're hearing about every day, it's a result of those people yielding to the devil's influence. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, there's no physical answer to all these problems. The only answer is a spiritual one. We've got to turn to our God. We've got to believe Him. And that's what I'm trying to just start with today. And I got to almost quit here quick. That wasn't no good. Almost quit here. I'm going to almost quit. Yeah. I'll just chop it off in a couple minutes here, and we'll take it up again next time. But all this evil we're seeing, every time that you do something and something inside of you says, don't do that, and you do it anyway, did you know that you're yielding to the devil? Oh, you're not going to go to hell. You're not going to, God's not going to send lightning down on you. But what I'm saying is what we don't realize is God's out for our good. And when He tells us to do something, tells us not to do something, it's so that we can walk and not let the enemy get a hold of us. Folks, we're not supposed to be having to run to the prayer chain every 15 minutes to get somebody to pray for us. Is it okay if we get out of kindergarten for a minute? Man, you have power. You have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. That's what Jesus said. Now, I'm not saying don't call the prayer chain. Hey, call, man. We're going to pray. We some praying fools around here. Huh? If I don't know what to do, I'm going to pray. If I don't know what to say, I'm going to pray. If I don't know which direction to go, I'm going to pray. If I don't know how to pray, I'm just going to pray. Because God will hear me. But I'm just telling you, we're not just servants. We're sons and daughters. See, if you believed that, there'd been more than three of us said, yeah, that's right. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. He says, man, I already said it before you. It's already all the blessing, all the cursing is already there. This world is under a curse. And whichever influence we yield to the most is the influence that will be dominant in our life. I'm yielded to God. I don't know what you're doing. Huh? So what if you serve God and they kill you anyway? I go to heaven. I got a win-win situation. Hang around here. He's just going to give me victory and power and glory and honor. He's just going to do big things in my life. He says, I got big things planned for you, Hank. Your steps are ordered. If I hang around here, man, it's just a good time. I'm going down to the river. And if I leave here, it's a better time, man. I got a better deal. Can't lose. Don't give place to. I'm telling you what, the devil wants to kill all of mankind. His plan, his the devil's perfect will is for you to die unsaved, lost, and spend eternity with him. That's his perfect will. Now, how many in here are saved? You've asked Jesus into your heart. See, you've already missed the devil's perfect will. Huh? You've already missed it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Well, it's not because you did anything. It's because he did everything. But he also has a backup plan. He has an acceptable will. The acceptable will of the devil is, well, if you're going to go to heaven, go today. If you're going to die, go ahead. If you're going to go to heaven, go ahead and go today. Get out of here before you can influence anybody else for God. The problem, folks, with what's going on isn't ISIS, it isn't Al-Qaeda, it isn't any of the rest of this stuff. The problem is, we've had 2,000 years to be influenced the right way, and those of us that are saved, a lot of us aren't even letting our influence work. Huh? You let people around you start seeing Jesus in you, they'll start wanting what you got. Huh? Somebody asked me yesterday, said, Hank, what are we going to do about all this? I said, all what? He said, all this killing, all this stuff that's going on, all this stuff that's happening. I said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm just going to get closer to God. I'm sorry. It's not my fault it's this way. It's not your fault either. It's not because you didn't pray enough. It's not because you didn't do anything enough. No, it's because we got a devil and he's after us and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's why the bad things are going on in your life. That's why the things are happening to you. Because there's a curse in the land. Now we have an opportunity. He set it before us. And now, you know, if the Old Testament wasn't good enough and all the blessings, you ought to read those blessings in chapter 28. And while you're at it, read the curses, because you find out most of us are putting up with most of the curses. We don't have to. Says, Hank, you got a choice. Choose life or death. Blessing or cursing. But here's the key. He didn't say choose the blessing. He didn't say go after this. He said, no, he said, come after me. Choose me. Choose this day who you'll serve. Well, I'm just trying to let us see that we have a choice. You don't have to let the enemy do everything he's doing to you. He tries to convince us that he's the baddest thing on the planet, man. Huh? I mean, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. But you know what? If you put your glasses on, get up real close to him, you'll see that Jesus kicked his teeth out. He can't even bite you. Now, he can gum on you a while, huh? He can gum on you a while. Oh, I'm just saying, we don't realize who we are. We don't realize who God is. We don't realize how big he is. You want to know who God is? Walk out tonight and look up at the sky and the stars. And man, that's God. That's the universe. He created it. God's big. He's awesome. He's powerful. God's created. He's created beings that we can't even see in the natural realm. I was watching this satellite that went to, what was it, to Jupiter, Juno. Man, and it just hit me. I just went, wow, that's amazing. 5 years, going 168,000 miles an hour. And it lands within minutes of the time that they said 5 years ago it was going to land. And I'm going, God, that's amazing. I don't understand that. He said, you guys would be handling all the planets if you wouldn't have fell. I mean, God's got things, man, that we've never dreamed about. He's got species of beings. Somebody said, you believe there's life out there? Sure there is. Man, we got legions of angels. He rolled it back for Elisha one time for the servant and then said, look, and he looked around and he said, whoo, there's more of them with us than there is against us. Man, there's legions of principalities and powers and rulers. Man, I'll tell you what, God has created some stuff. Now the brilliant people are going, I believe there's more galaxies than that. Sure there is. He's God. He's big. He's bigger than my little pea brain. Thank goodness. But this is the thing. In the midst of all this, of all his creations, he picked us. He made us. He made us to be like him. None of those other beings are like him. He made us to be like him. It was so powerful that the angels went, wow, who is this man that you're so mindful of him? Wow, who is this man that you do this with? He asked me to be his partner. Time for me to start acting like a partner. Huh? Now I gotta cut off. I'm gonna do something different. We don't ever do anything different here. And I didn't get to the good part. But we don't ever do anything different. But Randy, you sang a song yesterday. I don't see how fast you can grab a guitar and sing this song again this morning. How's that for putting you on the spot? I could have went, Scott, come on up here and play the piano and sing. Don't move so fast now. We'll be done before you get up here. He's trying to figure out what I just asked him to do. He sang a song yesterday. And I want to sing it. But God created us. I'm gonna do another little sermon here while you're getting ready. So hurry. God picked me. He picked me to be his partner. He picked you to be his partner. Now, folks, listen. We can sit around here for the next 20, 30 years trying to get each other to live right, trying to tell each other the right way to behave, trying to tell each other how to use your faith, trying to tell you how to get out of your jam, or we can get over on the creative side of this and realize that everything I say has power. And get over on the creative side of this. It shouldn't be the unsaved folks that are sending satellites to Jupiter. Somebody listening to me, you probably got the answer to cancer inside of you. It's time for us to shift over and get out of the valley and get out of the crying and poor sweet Jesus save me and all the rest of this stuff and get over here and start walking. He says, Hank, I got your steps ordered. Time for you to start producing some stuff for the kingdom, Hank. Man, we shouldn't have to announce for 13 weeks about a women's conference. There ought to be women running because they want something from God. There ought to be women saying, hey, I don't even feel like it. I don't know what I'm going, but I'm going because God's going to be there. We shouldn't have to get up and take offerings and beg for money. People ought to be running and throwing the money because God's given you so much. Are you hearing me? If just two or three of you hear me, we'll be making it good. Matter of fact, if just one of you hear me, you know, we got things to do. We got maintenance to do around here, but we got to get past all the maintenance and stuff. We got to reach the lost people. We got to reach our area with the gospel. God says, man, I put in your mouth. What are you going to call for? I was going to read the scriptures again, but I won't. What are you going to call for? Oh, help me, Jesus, help me. This is our mentality. Hurry, come get us, Jesus, before there ain't any of us left. No, man, when he comes after me, I want to be spitting fire, man. When he comes after me, I want to be kicking. When he's ready to take me, I go, wait a minute, one more time. Devil, one for the road. The day's coming. Now we just did some maintenance on the teen roof and we got some air conditioners down and I don't want anybody bringing an offering up here. I just say on this because I want you to pray with me about it. But two air conditioners out of three are down in our nurseries and in our office area. It takes about $10,000 to fix that. We got our carpet in our children's churches hadn't been replaced for almost 30 years. It takes $21,000 to replace it. We're going to do that in the next couple months, okay? We're going to do that. But my point is this. We can't be backing up to all these things anyway. We got to be charging this thing. We got to be believing God. I'm believing that whenever we have a need, whenever God wants to do something, God says, hey, I want to start a food pantry, and I need you to feed folks for every month. That's just an idea. Because I know some folks in Edna that did it, and we help them every year. We help them. But when he tells you to do something, we just step out and do it. And somebody says, oh, well, I can pay for that carpet. That's no big deal here. Somebody says, oh, I can buy them air conditioners. That's no big deal here. Oh, I can take care of them golf carts. Oh, I can. You understand what I'm saying? We're backing up to everything to do. And we go, you know, when we're going to do something, we go, well, we have the money. I don't know where God ever told us to believe for the money. He said, go do the things. Go reach the people. Anyway, I don't know where all that came from, but I said that. I didn't say that to come down and bring an offering here, but you pray about it. So you know, and a lot of times we do that, and that's okay. I don't want you to do it now because I'm not trying to work you. I'm trying to let you see that you got something you can work called your faith. It's time to start calling for some stuff. Huh? It's time to start calling for some stuff. It's time to start calling for some provision. It's time to start calling for some souls to be saved. It's time to start calling on God to protect our police officers. It's time to start calling on Him to do what He can do and what He wants to do. He said, Hank, I made you to be my partner. Why don't you start talking like it? Start acting like it. Did you fall down, Randy? Oh, okay. Thought you fell down. You got ready faster than I thought. I just want Randy to sing this song. Do you know today that you make the decisions you make are important? The choices you make, the decisions you make. Why don't you decide today, God, I start living in some of this stuff you want me to live in. I'm going to start living in this realm of power and anointing that you want me to live in. I'm ready to start being part of the answer instead of part of the problem. How many's ready for that? Okay? This isn't a thing where we're going to jump through any hoops or anything, but there's somebody in here and you've never made a decision for Jesus. And I love this song about Jesus so much, and so I just want us all as we end today, and when he gets done, I'll speak a blessing on you if that's okay. But I just wanted us to praise Jesus for a few minutes as we walk out today. Is that all right? I want everybody to stand. I just want us to walk out here today with Jesus on our mind because Jesus is the answer. If you're here today and you've never made a decision for Jesus, I'm asking you, come on down while Randy's singing this. Maybe you've never been baptized. Come on down while Randy's singing. Come on down to the river and we'll baptize you. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. Maybe you just want to come down and pray by yourself and make some commitment to God, some dedication to God. But whatever it is, you do what you need to do today. If you're here and not saved, don't leave here without asking Jesus into your heart. Come on down and we'll pray with you. Just come on down while we're singing here.
Just a young boy in a temple one day, spoke to the doctors, they were so amazed. Never had they seen one so young, speak so swift. They asked him many questions, the conversation, it went like this. On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. But on my father's side, they call me Emmanuel. On my mother's side, I'm only 12 years old. But on my father's side, I've just always been. Well, he was the Son of God. Oh, but yeah, the Son of Man. I can't help but wonder how Brother Joseph must have felt. Went through an open door that day, he heard his son reply, "You see, I am the King of Kings that's on my Father's side. On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my Father's side, it's the New Jerusalem. On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my Father's side, in 3 days I'll rise." Nails drove through his feet, and there were nails drove through his hands, and a crown of thorns placed on his head, condemned and beat by man. He cried, "Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then he died there on the cross that day for the sin of me and you. Oh, Father, please forgive me for everything I've done. I name the name of Jesus as my Savior, your only Son. I say to all who speaks and means these words, don't turn away, for he promised all his children he'd be back for us someday. On my mother's side, they called me Jesus. On my Father's side, they call me Emmanuel. On my mother's side, oh, I was crucified. But on my Father's side, in 3 days I rose.
Just tell him you love him. Just tell him you love him. Just say it with your mouth. Don't just think it. He loves to hear it. Jesus, I love you. Father, I love you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in me. Praise you, Lord. Your name be raised above every name. We just give you praise and glory and honor. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus and you didn't know what to do there, that's okay. We do something different every week. But if you don't know Jesus, right now, right where you are, say, "Jesus, I want you to save me. Come into my heart. I give you my life. I want to live for you, but I need your help. So I thank you now for helping me and saving me. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen." If you prayed that, or maybe you wanted to and you didn't. Either way, come down, let one of us talk with you. We got some information we'd like to give you here, and we'd like to pray with you again before you leave. But as you leave, I speak God's blessings into you. I just believe Him to touch your life this week. I believe Him to be strong in every area of your life. Those things that have been weighing you down and heavy on your mind, I just believe God to touch you right now. And I believe Him to be with you. And I just believe Him to resolve all those issues for you this week. And when you see it happen, you be sure and don't forget who to give the glory to. Don't forget who to praise. And Jesus, we thank you because your name above every name. Hey, I love you. Be blessed. Thank you for being here today. Sign up for the conference. Come hear Frank tonight at 6 o'clock over across the way. If you're first-time attender here, I'd like to shake your hand, give you a little information, give you a CD of one of the services. But love you. Tell somebody you love them on the way out and that you're glad they came. And see you next time.